was in John chapter 12, and as I was reading, I just felt the Lord impress some verses in my heart, and I thought it may be profitable to bring it to you guys tonight. And it's something I really felt the Lord speaking to me personally in my walk, my sojourn with the Lord, but also I thought it could be beneficial perhaps to you guys as well. And it's John chapter 12, verses 35 to 41 initially. John chapter 12, verses 35 to 41. And I'll read it all first of all, then just speak about it. It shouldn't be too long. But so Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and was hidden from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. And this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, so that they could not see, they would not see with their eyes, and perceive with their heart, and be converted, and I heal them." These things Isaiah said, because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. Amen. So I was just reading this morning, and obviously the context of the time of Jesus is Jesus was amongst them. And when he was saying, "For a little while longer the light is among you," what he was talking about was himself. "I am the light of the world." Who is the light? Well, what light are we supposed to live by? It is Christ. Everything Christ said, everything Christ is, everything Christ is from the Old Testament revealed to us through the Scriptures. This is all the light, what he says and who he is. This is the light which we're supposed to be walking in. And of course the disciples, as Thomas was saying earlier, they had Jesus, the light of the world, with them for 3 years, and yet still they stumbled. And Jesus said, "For a little while longer the light is among you." And I thought very much, well, that's very much like us today, isn't it? For a little while longer the light is among you. We're heading towards very dark days. I was talking with John in the car about it. Everyone, you know, so many people I'm talking about, they're saying the same thing, this darkness that is coming upon our land and is even now almost strangling, seeming to strangle the politicians, the media, just the whole social fabric of our nation. Is darkness is coming upon us, and darkness brings things like confusion, disorder, sin, immorality. But Jesus is saying, "For a little while longer, the light is among you." And I think we, in this nation, we have not yet experienced what it is to be in true darkness yet. We are just feeling the first effects of it. You see in China, churches being closed down, or churches being told they have to sing hymns to praise communism and the communist leaders rather than hymns to praise God. And you know, in North Korea, people being thrown in prison, and in the Arab states, they're being persecuted. And here we think, you know, just because we aren't able to preach on the streets, we're persecuted. Well, you know, we're only just getting the first inklings of persecution, really. We have that anticipation of what is coming upon us, and that sense of we are rapidly approaching deep darkness in this nation. But Jesus said, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness will not overtake you." So there is this sense of you have the light. If you have received Jesus, you believed in Jesus, you have a light. But the impetus is for us to walk in that light. And that basically means a whole change of lifestyle. That basically means walking in the light means allowing him to shine into our darkness and doing something about it when he shines into our darkness. And being grieved when we fall into the darkness and dealing with it quickly to get back into walking in the light. Because if you're walking in the light, you can't really continue walking in the darkness. And Jesus said, walk while you have the light, so the darkness will not overtake you. That really struck me when I read it. Basically, that means that you have come out of the darkness. But if you're not careful, you're not diligent, and you don't walk in the light, that darkness that once you put behind you can then overtake you. I remember Demas, you know, because he loved this world, he has forsaken me and gone to Thessaloniki. Someone who was one of Paul's very close companions, Judas, of course, who walked with Jesus for 3 years, or seemed to have walked with Jesus, had the light of life right in front of him, and yet he was a child of the darkness. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness will not overtake you. It's very easy for the darkness to overtake us. Because we're walking almost countercultural. Everything in the culture around us is screaming at us to walk in the darkness. They don't see it that way. They see it as walking in the fun. You're free. You can do this, you can do that, you know. And you have so much freedom in this country to indulge your sinful nature. And yet that is darkness. That is very compelling sometimes. And it's almost worse being in a situation where you have complete freedom than if you had restriction. I remember Tanya saying when she grew up in Bulgaria, there was communist, and people complained they were behind the Iron Curtain, but there was no rubbish that you have today. And, you know, in some ways it was very difficult to live as a believer because you were against the communist state, but in other ways they didn't have all the freedoms that we have today. And it brings a whole different dimension of temptation and stress, but it's a sort of free stress. And you have more freedom to indulge the sinful nature. And when you have freedom, opportunity presents itself, and it's much more easy to walk in the flesh and walk in the darkness. But he who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. And that's a characteristic of walking in the darkness. You don't even know you're walking in the darkness. Mm. And I think for years I walked in the darkness as a believer, because I would engage in sinful acts, and it would be a habitual lifestyle. And God would tell me, you know, shine the light, and I'd, yes, I'd repent, Lord. And then you'd plan, and you know you're going to do the same thing the next day. And eventually, after a period of time, you realize that your repentance is becoming worthless because you're just doing the same thing. It's a habit. It's a willful sin. It's not like something where you walk free and then you fall in sin and then you get up and you walk free. It's something you're planning on doing. It's a habit. And God wants us to break those habits, to have victory over them. And he can give us the victory when he shines his light. He expects us to respond to that in humility and to walk in the light as he is in the light. It says, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of the light. So we need to believe in Jesus Christ. And of course, it's very easy to say believe in Jesus Christ, isn't it? But then even the devil believes, or the demons believe in Jesus and shudder. But it means more than just believe. It means believe unto doing something. Because if your belief doesn't translate to faith and actually doing something about your lifestyle, about your walk with the Lord, then your belief is useless. Your belief is worthless. It says, these things Jesus spoke, and he went away and was hidden from them. And I thought, why does the scripture say that he was hidden from them? For though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. He was hidden, he became hidden from them because it was like he's demonstrating to us, like as a living parable. These people had the light of life right before them, yet because they didn't believe on him, they could not even see it. They had the light smack bang in front of their very eyes. And yet because of the hardness of their hearts, they could not see. And he was hidden from them. That's why I believe it's mentioned in there, as he was hidden from them. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's Isaiah 53, the first verses of Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's talking about Jesus, the Messiah, as the arm of the Lord. He was revealed. Who was he revealed to? To the Jews. He came and he tabernacled amongst us. We saw his glory, his light. The glory of the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So many of those who he came to did not receive him. Their hearts were hardened because they could not see. The Lord, the arm of the Lord was revealed to them, yet because of the hardness of their hearts, God hardened them in return. And for this reason they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and he hardened their hearts, so they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord. He saw the light of God. He saw Jesus. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. He saw Jesus on the throne. And he saw the light of life went through him. And what was his response? I am undone. Woe is me. When the Jews heard the words of Jesus, some of them said the same sort of things, but many didn't. They argued with him. They said, no, 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 this can't be. He's just a carpenter. He's just this. He's just that. And their hearts were hard. And it really struck me, Jesus saying, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk whilst you have the light. I think many of them probably just assumed Jesus would always be there. Maybe tomorrow I could repent. Maybe tomorrow I can respond. They just have this assumption that God is always going to call. Well, God doesn't always call. There's a time when he calls and then there's a time when he's silent if you don't respond to the call. When Jesus walked by the lake, he called to Andrew and Simon. He said, follow me. What if they said, oh, had a hard day's night, you know. Got a few nets to mend. How about tomorrow, Jesus? Do you think Jesus would have come back the next day? Jesus said to a man, follow me. He said, oh, first let me bury my father, or let the dead bury their own dead. But you come, follow me. To another, he said, follow me. He said, oh, first I must do this and that. He said, no, no, now. God doesn't call every day. And there's a scripture in the Bible which really impacts in my heart. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. There are times in your life when God will speak to you. There are times when it will seem that he doesn't speak to you and it seems that you're just coasting along and everything's all. But there are times when you will be in a meeting or maybe you will be with the Word at home. And suddenly God will speak something to you today if you hear his voice. Today, not tomorrow. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Because God doesn't speak every day. I think we presume on the Lord. We need to trust in him that he will speak to us. Trust in his word, but not presume in his mercy. I think there's many in the church today who presume on God's mercy. Well, tomorrow, Jesus, it'll be okay tomorrow. And they hear his voice and, you know, they hear the voice of the shepherd calling them. And that is the moment to respond. And they think, let me think about it. I've got so many boxes to watch and catch up on. And they put it off. They put it off. And how many times do we put it off? How many times have I put it off? And I felt the Lord saying, this is something really I feel. What is the Lord speaking to his church today? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I feel that very strongly. I think we're approaching a time that we've never been seen in human history, where the nations are rushing to great and dreadful darkness. It's the time of the wise and foolish virgins. The wise and foolish virgins, they all went out to meet the bridegroom, didn't they? All expected to be received by him. But what was the difference? They all had lamps. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. They all had the Bible, but only some had oil in their lamps. Because if you have no oil in your lamp, you've got nothing to burn. And there's no light coming out of your lamp. The wise oils, they got the wise virgins, sorry, they got the oil in the lamp before the midnight hour. Because of the midnight hour, it's too late. Go to the dealers and buy some. But there's no time anymore. You see, when the darkness comes, that's when it's dark and you don't really know where to go and you're bouncing around, you're tripping up in the darkness, you're falling down, you're stumbling. It's not easy to see in the darkness. We still have light today. Whilst you still have the light, walk in the light. I think today is the day of salvation. come into groups like this or Oxford Fellowship or wherever it is. It's important to remain in fellowship, to be around people who are hungry for God, who are going in the same direction, not to be lulled and say, well, I just, you know, I'll watch this and I'll watch that and I'll just put it off. It's so much more convenient just to stay at home rather than, I mean, you don't have to come to a group, but it's important to meet together. It's important to be around people who are hungry for the truth. It's important to get into the Word every day and to allow the Word to speak to you and to listen to what it says and obey it and listen to what the Lord is speaking. You know, when the call came up, all the virgins were sleeping, but the wise virgins had at least got themselves ready. And at least if you slumber, if during the day when you hear his voice, you respond to it and you get that oil in your lamp, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your Bible reading, that's what the oil is. How are you reading the Word? Are you reading it through people's opinions? Or are you reading it by the Holy Spirit inspiring you what that Word is? When you read the Word, are you reading it with a view to, Lord, teach me your ways, teach me, speak to me through your Word, reveal your Word to me? Are you hungry? Or are you just reading it to tick it off your list? The time is now to be getting oil in our lamps. Because when the midnight hour comes and the shout comes up, the bridegroom is coming, come out to meet him, there's no time. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I think that is a cry, that is a call that the Holy Spirit is making in these days, in these last hour. Today, if you hear his voice, and don't presume you will have the light guarding you all the time. God can hide himself. If we despise his word, he's not going to call forever. There comes a time when he says, I'll give you over. He doesn't willfully do that, but if we constantly keep hardening our hearts and ignoring and just closing up our ears, he will eventually give us over to what we desire, and it will not be good for us. So I thought the scripture from Romans 11, behold then the kindness and the severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. I've spoken to church people, to you and to me. It's very easy to drift in our Christian life. Very easy when you have opportunity. Romans 11 verse 22. I think we need to have a holy fear and a balanced with the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Not just in fear, but a perfect balance between the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And if it is truly the fear of the Lord, not just agitation and religious works, if it's truly the fear of the Lord, it will lead you to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It will be a perfect balance. But one leads to the other. You don't get comforted until you're put in discomfort by the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord leads you to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that you walk with him. And your ears are attentive to his cry. Don't be lulled into complacency by this world and by the churches and the way they just preach as if everything is fine, Jack. It's not fine. This world is going to hell. And there are many people in the church who are going to hell and they don't realize it. But they're apathetic and they need to be woken up. Believe in Jesus to such an extent that you walk in him and you allow his light to consume your darkness. That may mean you have to cut things in your life, that you may become sons of the light. Don't allow the darkness to overtake you. The darkness can overtake you if you let it. And obviously as the Lord is our light and he is our salvation, but we have an active role to play in allowing his light to shine in us. And don't presume upon his mercy and grace. Trust in it, but don't presume upon his mercy and his grace. And in verse 46, Jesus said, I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Jesus doesn't want you to remain in darkness. If he saved you for a purpose and a reason, is to sanctify you in his truth and to have you, have your complete, your inner being completely lit and alive with the glory of the living God. But in order to do that, he needs to be able to shine his light. And so often we hide our heart and we disguise what we're doing, and we enjoy our sin, and we don't confess, and we think, oh, it's okay, that's just a small sin. You know, God knows I'm a weak man, and he'll just overlook that. No, he doesn't. In God is light, in him is no darkness at all. We should not presume that our sins are just small sins. God wants every sin dealt with. He wants a victory over this sin. We may not get the complete victory, but we need a measure of victory. And God will do that in your life if you walk with him and trust him and obey him. I have come in the world. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Amen. God doesn't want us to remain in darkness. He wants us to be sons and daughters of the light. So that's my exhortation to you tonight. Amen.